Anybody grateful for freedom in the house today? Anybody grateful for the hand of God in the house today? I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord where somebody can talk about be free. I know what it's like to have been bound, amen? So glad to be free in Jesus' name. Won't you turn with me to Acts, the second chapter? Be free, freedom. Freedom. So I was really blessed. That's why you have to make sure when it comes out, you get the album. Sister Brittany Wright sang all night about what it meant to be free. I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful thing when you can get to the place to say, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. Such a blessing. I didn't understand that part when I was younger. But anybody here, you've ever been restless? But when your soul is resting, you can be in the midst of a rough situation and you still be resting. And you still be good to go, amen? No, Reverend Doctor, come take my seat, please. I need you on the pulpit. Amen. You can just put her in my seat. You can say where you are. You can just put her in my seat. Amen. Amen. Acts the second chapter. Acts the second chapter, the first verse. Acts 2, 1. Acts the second chapter, the first verse. It reads us, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And then if you'd allow me to go to verse 40 of that same chapter, it says, with many other words, he warned them and he pled with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Brothers and my sisters, I ask you to join me in a word of prayer as we share on a sermon subject, right place, right time. Right place, right time. Would you join me in prayer? God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Grateful, God, for your hand and for your power. Now, God, send the preacher, send the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, God, we ask that your Spirit, God, run rampant in this house. We'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. Encourage somebody, inspire somebody, convict somebody, set the captive free, save somebody, heal somebody, deliver somebody. In Jesus' name we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right place, right time. Brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you, but one of the blessings of being in Community of Hope has been that there's been something we literally have been saying almost every Sunday, about every Sunday, probably every Sunday for the last 11 years. Started on that first Sunday in the Legend Nightclub, and then it just kept on. And And it is that we say that we are the community of hope, what? Where everybody has a chance. It's, we don't care who you are, what you've done, or who you did it with. Don't care if you did it last night or woke up doing it this morning. But when you get into this place, you're in the right place at the right time to become all that God has called you to become. And we believe that God's got a blessing with your name. Slam on it. It's a very interesting thing, this whole concept of right place and right time. Because you've got to understand that you can be in the right place at the wrong time, or you can be in the right timing in the wrong place. But there's something that happens when you're in the right place at the right time that puts you in position to be able to receive what God has for you. I would dare say that here we have the disciples, and I believe that you can say they were in the right place at the right time. That here you have them, that they have been walked up under Jesus for 3 years. Here they witnessed the crucifixion. They've been able to sit with him in his resurrected form and even see him go up into the sky. Watch them go into the sky, and he told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. It's a very interesting thing, because there are times along your journey in which you know where to go, but you don't know when to be there. And one of the things I like about the disciples is they understood that if I know the right place, I'm going to stay at the right place until the timing hooks up with the location. And I've come by to talk to somebody today, because I believe that today, this Sunday morning, on this Pentecost Sunday, you are in the right place at the right time. I'm so glad there are all kinds of other places you could be, all kinds of other times you could be there. But I want to thank God that you're in the right place at the right time. And I want to caution you. I want to caution you because you have to understand that even during the week, you have to make sure that you watch the places that you go, because you can be in the wrong place. In the wrong place, it can be the right time for God to bless you, but because you're in the wrong place, your blessing cannot connect with you, because God sent your blessing to a place, amen, somebody, to be able to meet you there. And some of us are wondering why we never are able, ever able fully to be able to walk in what God has called us to be, but it's because we keep playing ourselves out of position, that you feel like you got it right and you're in the right place on Sunday, but by Tuesday you feel the tugging of old locations and old spaces and you find yourself out of position. But I've come by to talk to somebody today to say this is your day to be in the right place at what? The right time. And when you get in the right place at the right time, then that's when you see the possibility of power to happen in your life. And when you're in the right place at the right time, that's when you can see God's hand move in your life, because your life is lining up with the destiny and the purpose that God has for you to walk in. And what we find is we find the disciples got in the right place. They were at the right time waiting on what the Lord had for them, and God gave it, and God blessed to God's honor, to God's glory. And here we are over 2,000 years later, excited about the fact that they were in the what? The right place at the right time. One of the first things you've got to understand if you're going to be in the right place at the right time is you've got to make sure that your crew has got the same playbook. Yeah, you got to get everybody on team to be coming out the same playbook. One of the things, when you look at the scripture, what you will realize is that when they went back to Jerusalem after Jesus went up into the air, ascended, and told them what they were going to be able to do, they were going to be able to be go and make disciples in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even unto the uttermost parts of the world. But it's very interesting, because he told them to go and stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And what you find is they didn't just go to Jerusalem, but they went to Jerusalem. They got a room. They all stayed together. And the Bible said they got together on what? One accord. It said they would be praying day in and day out in the same room, all together, getting on what? One accord. They were getting on one mindset, getting on one mind frame. And it's an interesting thing, because nowhere when you look at scripture that Jesus tell them they had to go stay together. But they understood they needed to get together, because they needed to what? Get together. I know that sounds crazy, but I said they needed to get together, because they needed to what? Get together. And some of us, the challenge for too many of us is that we are sitting there and we are dealing with folks and God wants to bless, but we can't get over our own issues with each other for God to be able to do the work God wants to do. But they understood they had to come together. That Jesus just told them to stay in Jerusalem. He didn't say y'all had to stay in the same room, but they said, no, we're going to come together and we're going to pray together and we're going to believe together and we're going to watch God move together, because we got to get on what? one accord. And somebody in here, your issue is not the fact that you're not in the right time or place, but your issue is that you can't get together with the ones that are around you, and you have people who are not on one accord with what God is trying to do in your life. And the right time oftentimes cannot come until the right atmosphere is set in the right place. And what you saw was it was set in the right atmosphere in the right place so that God could move, but they had to do it what? Together. Let me help you. Let me help you. I learned something when I used to play basketball. I used to play boys club basketball one season. I was playing boys club basketball for the Allentown Arrows, And the coach would give us a plays, and he had a playbook, and these were the plays that we would run. And so you learn the playbook, and you would come down, and you would call out the play, and everybody would do whatever the play said. But then that summer, I ended up playing AAU Junior Olympics, going to play at the next level. As I was playing AAU ball, that coach had a different playbook. And I had to realize that even though some of my friends who played Allentown with me went to the AAU team with me, that we couldn't run the old Allentown plays at the AAU team because it wasn't out of that coach's playbook. And we had to understand if we were going to move to this next level and play with this next level of people, then we had to run the plays, Lord have mercy, not the Allentown plays, but the AAU plays, because that was the playbook that coach was running. And the challenge is that too many of us are sitting there with people who are running the plays from our old team. Too many of us are sitting there running a plays with the old team. And so you've got people who are running plays that are not connecting to what you are and the level you're on right now. You don't believe me? Let me help somebody. You're talking about, I'm trying to live for the Lord and I'm trying to have a healthy relationship. For one of the first times in your life, you decide to put pimping to the side. Amen, somebody. And you decide to have a healthy relationship, a wholesome relationship, a loving relationship. You find somebody who loves you, you love them back, and y'all trying to work this thing out and ride this thing out to see what the Lord gonna do. But then your crew, your friend comes back to you and says, hey, I found somebody who wants to holler at you, and I know that you with somebody, but that ain't never stopped you before. Your friend is running the old play, that you're trying to run an honesty play, but your friend is running the deception play. Just because that's the play you used to always run does not mean that's the play you need to run right now. And you've got to make sure that the folks in your life start lining up with the same playbook that you've got for your life. Have I got a witness in the house today? That in this time and on this team, I'm on the Lord's team. And I'm not on my old team anymore. Had to come up off my old team. Because my old team was the enemy's team. But for what I'm trying to do right now, I've got to run a different play. Have I got somebody in here? Because baby, I've got to run a different play. And so I don't need you to be petty. I need you to be praying. I don't need you to get me in trouble. I need you to be praising. I don't need you to be giving me the hookup. I need you to believe that my Father is rich in houses and land, and the Lord will make a way somehow. Have I got anybody in the house today? Because I'm going to do it the Lord's way. I'm going to run it the Lord's way. I'm going to do it how God says.
You got to run the plays in this team. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to let them laugh. Turn to your neighbor and say, let them laugh and watch God work. Oh, God have mercy. Let them laugh and watch God work. It's an interesting thing. We're sitting here in scripture and we're reading literally a historical analysis. We are watching history emerge. That we are watching. Here you have the disciples. Disciples are in the midst of a historic moment. They're in the midst of the birth of the church. The book of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, is considered the birthday of the church, the day the church was born. The disciples were sitting there in prayer, not realizing that prayer was labor pains, not realizing they were groaning and moaning before the Lord. They were really pushing. The Holy Spirit comes and helps them to give birth, Lord have mercy, to a movement that would outlast the Roman Empire, to a movement that would outlast every potentate that was in that period, to a movement that would outlast everybody that was on that scene. That God was doing an amazing and a historic work right in the middle of them. And the Bible says they sat and the Spirit came upon them, and they started to speak in other tongues. Gentiles, and the people came, all of these Jews who would come, God-fearing Jews, who would come for the Pentecost ceremony, the Pentecost festival, had made pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They had made pilgrimage to Jerusalem from all over the world. And yet in the midst of this, they said that they heard them speaking to them in their own language. In other words, the folks that were from Egypt heard them speaking Egyptian language. The folks that were up by Rome heard them speaking their language. The Medes heard them speaking their language. Even though they were speaking in an unknown tongue, it was like there was a Google Translate in the midst of them all. And they all heard in their own language. The Bible says that they were amazed and perplexed. And they asked one another, what does this mean? But in the midst of this amazing situation, in the midst of this crazy situation, in the midst of this phenomenal situation, the Bible goes on to say, some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. I don't know about you, but is there anybody here who, when God was doing something really special in your life, changing your life, turning you around, doing something that did not make sense, but God has been able to grab you from where you were and taking you to where you are, but now in the midst of God working a miracle in your life, there's still some folks who, even while God's doing the miracle, got the nerve to look at you and talk about you, look at you and ridicule you, look at you and laugh at you. But I've come by to tell somebody, let them laugh and watch God work. You see, you always have some folks who gonna be some naysayers, who don't believe that God is actually doing what the Lord is actually doing. They know you for who you used to be. They know you for what you used to do. And the fact that right now, on a Sunday morning, you got yourself in the house of the Lord, it makes them giggle and it makes them laugh. Let them laugh and watch God work. The fact that you can think that you don't need no hookups, and you can put away all the other ways you used to make your money, all the ways you used to make your money, selling yourself to the highest bidder, selling drugs, or doing all kinds of scandalous things. And they look at you and you sitting there saying, I'm cool. And you ain't driving what you used to drive. You ain't wearing what you used to wear. You ain't got the kind of shoes that you used to have. But you got peace and you got joy. But they gonna laugh at you talking about peace and joy. Ain't gonna pay your bills. But you know that the Lord is able to take care of your bills. And as long as I got joy, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Let them laugh. Let them laugh and watch God work. Let them laugh about what you don't have and watch God pick you up and blow you up and all your stuff end up being legit. Let them laugh about how you can't get you a date. Let them laugh when God sends the right one in your life that's gonna love you for you. Let them laugh when they're talking about all that you won't be. And when God gives you the position and the career of a lifetime, let them laugh when they talk about all that you're not. When God picks you up and turns you around and places your feet on high, let them laugh because they don't believe all that God can do. But if I got anybody in here that you can go ahead and laugh, I'm gonna watch God work. Watch God open the door. Watch God make the way. Watch God heal my body. Watch God raise my children. Have I got anybody in here? Say, watch God work. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Matter of fact, I laugh with them. They laugh at me and I giggle right back at them. Because I say, if you just knew what the Lord was up to, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you just knew what God was up to, you'd be shouting for me right now. You'd be giving him the glory right now. Let him laugh. Let him laugh. Let him laugh. And watch God work. Woo! Because, baby, when God works, you got to understand when God shows up to work, when God says, let me roll up my sleeves, when God says, I'm clocking in right now, when God says, baby, it's time for me to get down to business, can nobody keep you? Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Listen to me. I had a third point, but the Lord said, stop right there. You know what's amazing to me? Blows my mind. Is if you could see yourself the way God sees you, you wouldn't care who laughed at you. You wouldn't care who didn't believe in you. You wouldn't care who would say, they must be drunk. They must have been smoking something. Because you know you're in the right place. And what? You know what blows my mind? Right after that, God took Peter. Peter's the one who denied Jesus 3 times. The one who was too scared to speak up for Jesus. Peter, in that moment, preached a sermon where 3,000 got saved. When you're in the right place, at the right time, the Spirit of God can give you a strength, courage, and ability that's beyond anything you have, and that can erase your past mistakes at such an amazing level. See, right now, many of us are known for our mistakes. Peter was known for his mistake, but God used him so much that his mistakes are now just a part of his testimony. But they don't define who he is. Somebody here, your mistakes are just a part of your testimony. They're just what you went through. Yeah, you did do it. Yeah, you did mess it up. Yeah, you did do the wrong thing. But God has got you in the right place at the right time. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to connect to the one. Because you are in the right place at the right time. We say it every Sunday, say you're in the right place at the right time to become all that God has called you to.